Okay, I got to ask you one thing about this treat, Roger.
Okay, hang on just one second. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Roger Paul, and tonight we're going to continue our study on paper 112, Personality Survival. We're on page 1228 of the original book, or that's paper 112, section 2, paragraph 7. Yes, go ahead, Gary.
Is this thing chocolate?
Chocolate. The
Yeah, the
truth.
treat.
Oh no, it's not chocolate. This is a good type kind of treat. It will warm your soul. Little pun there. Okay, let's say a little prayer and we'll get
Good for you.
started. Father, thank you for bringing us together tonight. Thank you for this wonderful book. Thank you for all the wonderful things you've taught us in us. Give us open our hearts and minds that we might remember a little bit of it. So when we get to the mansion worlds, we're not dunces anyway. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We love you, love you, love you. We thank you for our brotherhood and our friends here that come to see this and all those that listen to these messages. We say this in the name of your son, Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. And we are on paper 112. Well, I'm on the right slides tonight, y'all, believe it or not. So we're starting out in the right place instead of 7 minutes into the meeting. Okay. I want to share something with y'all, which I don't normally don't do in the studying, going through these slides and this the papers like we have, but I found something today in putting pictures on paper 133. I put a bunch of pictures on it that I thought were already out there and they weren't. But in doing that, rereading it and figuring out where everything goes, I found this quote that I think is so important that I'm going to read it to you, okay? Because it's right down the line of what we are studying. So what I'm going to do is have,
Where's the quote from?
it's from paper 133. It's section 6, paragraph 4. It starts, okay? And I'm going to put it on the screen here. I'm going to let Diane read this paragraph that we're studying, and then we're going to come back to what I want to share with y'all. Okay. So let me mute here and.
The universe fact of God's becoming man has forever changed all meanings and altered all values of human personality. In the true meaning of the word, love connotes mutual regard of whole personalities, whether human or divine, or human and divine. Parts of the self may function in numerous ways, thinking, feeling, wishing, but only the coordinated attributes of the whole personality are focused in intelligent action. And all of these powers are associated with the spiritual endowment of the mortal mind. When a human being sincerely and unselfishly loves another being, human or divine.
Okay, notice here it says the spiritual endowment of the mortal mind. You see that? The mortal mind is from the infinite spirit. It's through it's the local universe mother spirit, right? So our mortal mind comes from part of the Trinity. You with
Right.
me? Okay. The meanings and values it's talking about at the beginning of this was made apparent to us through the life of Jesus.
Correct.
Okay? Jesus showed us how what goes on in this life creates meaning and value along with the infinite spirit mind circuit. And what else? Personality, individual personality. And we know the personality comes from who? God the Father, just like the Father fragment. Okay? So these things all come together to do what? To build the soul. And they talk about the soul being created upon the arrival of the thought adjuster. So if the soul is created upon the arrival of the thought adjuster, really our soul doesn't kick off, as you would say, until what? About 5.5 years old, somewhere in between 5 and 6 years old. Okay? Now, the interesting part of this, we studied the soul in the last paper, and I really should have brought this to y'all's attention in the last paper, but I don't want to skip over it because what Jesus has to say here is so important. Okay? So what I'm going to share with you, let me change, stop my share, and I'm going to reshare my screen. This one right here. Let's see what you got. Should clear up here in a second. There it goes. Y'all see that?
Can't read it though.
Should be
Barely.
blue on white, right?
I got my book.
Hang on, I can make it white. Would you like to see it in white?
That'd help a great deal, I think.
Okay,
Yeah.
give me a second here. I can bring it up in white. Supercomputer guy. Okay. See all these pictures I put in here today? Y'all can
That's cool.
take a trip back with Jesus in pictures. Okay, I need six. Lot of, what did I say? Six. Here it is. Here we are right here. And I'm going to read the paragraph before. No, actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let y'all read the paragraphs. Can everybody see that okay?
Yes.
And now, yeah.
Okay, instead of me just reading through it quickly, I'm going to let y'all read it. Pam, would you take the first one, or are you busy? Right.
Can you pass on me?
Yeah,
I'm
Rodney,
just
would you
going
take,
upstairs.
yeah, would you take the first, 6-4, the one in black and white? Yeah.
There was a progressive thinker connected with this local school of philosophy, and Jesus had several profitable sessions with him. In the course of these talks, Jesus had repeatedly used the word soul. This learned Greek finally asked him what he meant by soul, and he replied,
Okay,
"Yeah,
Letch,
this
would you?
is a good one."
Yeah, this is a good one. Letch, would you take the first paragraph there?
I can barely read it, but I'll try.
Well, you want me to do it, Les? I can read it well. I can see it on my screen. Would that help?
I'll try.
Okay,
Okay, I'll
go
go
ahead and try.
ahead.
All right.
The soul is the self-reflective, truth-discerning, and spirit-perceiving part of man, which forever elevates the human being above the level of animal world. Self-consciousness in and of itself is not the soul. Moral self-consciousness is true human self-realization and constitutes the foundation of the human soul, and the soul is that part of man which represents the potential survival value of human experience. Moral choice and spiritual attainment, the ability to know God and the urge to be like him, are the characteristics of the soul. The soul of man cannot
Exist.
exist apart from moral thinking and spiritual activity. A stagnant soul is a dying soul, but the soul of man is distinct from the divine spirit which dwells within the mind. The divine spirit arrives simultaneously with the first moral activity of the human mind, and that is the occasion of the birth of the soul.
Y'all see that? That's the moment the soul starts, really, the birth of the soul. Interesting part when he's talking about the first part of this paragraph is our self-consciousness. Our self-consciousness is part of what? The mindset circuit and the personality. Okay. So our realizing we are conscious of ourself makes us different from the animals. Animals are not self-conscious. Okay. That is why animals do not have births of souls. If the animals had a awakening of self-consciousness, what would that mean? That means they'd be a basic mortal, right? And that's real important. And this is why this is, I was talking to Diane about this last week. Jesus talks about him playing with a dog with Gained, okay, at one point. And it's kind of confusing what they're saying about, you know, he explains how the dogs does not have a soul. And since the dog did not have a soul, he would not be under the survival system and the progression system of humans, because they don't have any concept of deity at all. So, however the animals, this essence of the animals survive, they may be reconstituted. It doesn't really tell us. They may be reconstituted as the other types of beings in the universe. When they die, they may be just put right back in the same kind of creature or whatever. Apparently, nothing is wasted. Okay. Unlike human beings, this is the point I want to make. Human beings, if you do not survive, it says right in the book, you cease to exist, right? And that's what he's talking about later on in this paragraph when he's talking about a stagnant soul is a dying soul. If you do nothing to increase your spiritual attainment and your moral choices in life, what are you doing? You're dying. Yeah, that's just all there is to it. All right. And so what's so important about this to me is you see how this fits right in to what we're talking about in the personality. Okay. We know that the mind circuit and the personality circuit adds to the growth of the soul. And who does that adding to the growth of the soul? The thought adjuster, right? You see how it all comes together? All right, let's go on to the next paragraph. Jane, would you take the next one, please?
The saving or losing of a soul has to do with whether or not the moral consciousness attains survival status through eternal alliance with the associated immortal spirit endowment. Salvation is the spiritualization of the self-realization of the moral consciousness, which thereby becomes possessed of survival value. All forms of soul conflict consist in the lack of harmony between the moral or spiritual self-consciousness and the purely intellectual self-consciousness.
You see how the parts come together there? You have to have all the parts together. You have to, he's talking about here, in order for us to survive, we have to be a self-realizing, conscious, moral being. Okay, that gives us survival value. And that information gets turned over to the thought adjuster, and that self-consciousness and the intellectual self-consciousness gives this to the thought adjuster, and that thought adjuster creates a permanent spiritual record in our soul. Does that make sense? Yeah, Jane.
Oh, so I can't see the picture, so I'm sorry, I didn't know. So basically, what we're learning here is that whatever we do, that we do to be godlike, whatever we do because it is for the growth of our spiritual life, that is going to grow our soul. That is going to give the thought adjuster something to work with. But if we are just intelligent creatures and very bright and very successful in being good organizers and good lecturers, but if we're doing it for our own aggrandizement, that means nothing.
That means nothing. Yeah, that's correct. Now, I'm gonna switch back to the other slide for just a second. We'll come back and get this last one, okay? So let's go back to this other slide for just 1 second. And I want to point something out.
So I guess we're not so crazy when we talk to ourselves.
That's right. We're not crazy at all. What I want to connect here to this slide is this. Oops, I went down one. Or up one. There it is. What does it say on this first paragraph here? The universe fact of God's becoming man. What are they talking about? They're talking about Michael becoming Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Changed all meanings and altered all values of human personality. You see that? Mm-hmm. Human personality. So because Jesus came to the world and showed us all this stuff in the way in the life of Christ, since he showed us all this stuff, it changed all meanings and values from that time forward throughout all time in the universe. Okay? So when he is back here, let's switch screens again. When he's back here in this other screen, talking about the soul here, okay? When he's talking about the soul here, he has changed all the meanings and values in our personality because of his explanation here of the soul. Okay? Not only that, all that other stuff that we've been studying for the last 14 years in this book is because of him becoming man. Okay? It's a big jump. But because Jesus became a man, from being a God, from being divinity down to this earth, he showed us the way. And that's why, you know, I've been redoing these paper so you can just sit and listen to them. The reason being is we can't get too much of this life of Christ stuff, can we?
No.
I mean, that's just not all there is to it.
It's spiritual food.
It's spiritual food. Now, let's go to the last paragraph here that we're talking about. Gary, would you take that one, the human soul?
The human soul, when matured, ennobled, and spiritualized, approaches the heavenly status, and let me move your little icon here, approaches the heavenly status in that it comes near to being an entity intervening between the material and the spiritual, the material self and the divine spirit.
Now, let me interrupt you for a minute, Gary. What is that being?
The soul.
The Maranchabi.
That's me.
Maranchabi.
That's me, right?
Yeah, that's us. That's our soul within us is our Marantia being developed between the spirit, the material and the spiritual. Okay? So you're
basically that's saying me, and it's the material and the spiritual side of me trying to merge and be harmonious.
And becoming, yeah.
But
harmony.
Isn't that diffusion?
No, we're talking about the building of the Marantia entity within us. That's what the soul is, right? It's our future Marantia self. So literally what he's talking about here is in this lifetime, we're building our Marantia self while we're in the material trying to become spiritual. We're building the in-between part in our soul, and that's the Marantia being.
Roger, it's like these material bodies are cocoons.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Now, think of it this way, Rodney. If this material body is a cocoon, what would be the Marantia body? It would be the worm, the larva, right? And the butterfly would be what? The spiritual, right? All right. I think that makes sense. I don't know. Maybe I'm way off base on that one. Go on, Gary. Let's keep reading.
The evolving soul of a human being is difficult to describe and more difficult to demonstrate because it is not discoverable by the methods of either material investigation, or spiritual proving. Material science cannot demonstrate the existence of a soul. Neither can pure spiritual testing. Notwithstanding the failure of both material science and spiritual standards to discover the existence of the human soul, every morally conscious mortal knows of the existence of a soul as a real and actual personal experience.
Now notice the nose and his soul are both italicized, right? So he's saying every mortal knows he has a soul, okay? It's as real as it can possibly be in his actual personal experience, but you can't prove it there materially, and you can't prove it there spiritually. You just know it's there, right? Why do you think you know it's there? Why do you think you know it's there?
Because we experience it.
Experience, that's right. The supreme, right?
Yeah, we just, that is the ability of ourselves to step out of ourselves and, you know, like ever step back and say, where am I going?
Yeah.
What am I doing with this? You know.
And what allows you to do that? That's the mind circuit and the personality that allows you to do that.
Yeah. And that is a result of the soul, I believe. That's the soul speaking.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for that little lesson tonight. You know, that was a good lesson for us to read over while we're talking about the meanings and values of human personality. And that's what the soul is all about, the meanings and the values, right? All right.
I'm glad we read this.
Yeah, I'm glad we connected this up. I wish we would have done it back when we were studying the soul last paper, but I didn't catch it then. You know, all these things, too many things going on. Okay, so let's keep going on. Diane, would you take the first next?
You have to flip screens, I think.
All mortal concepts of reality are based on the assumption of the actuality of human personality. All concepts of superhuman realities are based on the experience of the human personality with and in the cosmic realities of certain associated spiritual entities and divine personalities. Everything non-spiritual in human experience, excepting personality, is a mean to an end. Every true relationship of mortal man with other persons, human or divine, is an end in itself. And such fellowship with the personality of deity is the eternal goal of universe ascension.
Now you can see why your personality is necessary for you to make this connection between the material and the spiritual, right? And this is the explanation of why every single relationship you have with other individuals, all people, fatherhood of God, brotherhood of man, all people, every true relationship you have with other people is divine in itself. In other words, every relationship adds to your soul. So though that's why when you get to the mansion world, every relationship you have had with any individual human will be remembered.
Okay, so then I correct myself there, because if someone, even if they don't know God, they don't know Jesus Christ, but they're working to and doing a good job to help fellow man, and that would be in relationship. Yes. That value is there.
That value is there. That's right. Whether the person survived or not, Jane.
Yeah, right? Because it's in the supreme.
That's right, because it's in the supreme. So if that person did not survive, all the good that that person would have done is in vibration in the universe and those who that person affected.
Yeah.
Right? The lessons of life. Makes sense. Now you can see why the supreme is so important, because all these lessons that these people had of not that did not survive, of non-survival value, still goes out into the universe and affects every single person, because every single personality is unique.
That's right.
So right? You would say that if Al Capone had the give the you know, he had a soup kitchen during the Depression that he funded out of his own pocket.
Right.
Okay. If his doing that was strictly altruistic.
Yes.
Assuming he didn't go on. Okay. that would still have go out and have a positive effect.
Exactly. It affected every single one of those persons that were fed or helped in any way. So in their memory, they would remember something about somebody doing something very special for them. They may not remember Al Capone, but they remember the act. You follow me?
Yeah.
That it happened. And when you get together with other groups of individuals that interacted with you during that period of time, you would build that memory together. So if you were in line with 18 other people and you were all discussing things in the line, when you got to the Mansion World, one of you would remember, I was in line with a bunch of these people. I remember these people. Yeah. Pretty special, huh? Nothing is lost. Nothing is lost.
Well, okay. The way I see it is it's everybody's individual duty to try to experience every kind of personality they can in their lifetime for their personal growth.
Yeah.
And even that includes people that you don't like, because you have to learn to search and find
learn something
where their goodness is or their badness is,
and
move on from there.
It's almost more important, isn't it, Lesh? Because those people that you don't like, you gain something from too. But it's easy to gain things from people you like and
Absolutely.
You love close to you.
Yeah.
But it's harder to gain things from people that you don't care for and that you should love. And, you know, so.
Yeah.
Well, as they say, it's easier to love someone in your family and your friends and relatives, but it's much more work to learn to love somebody that you don't like or you don't get along with or and
That's
so
right.
on.
That's right. Okay, let's see who's next. Pam, I think you're up next.
The possession of personality identifies man as a spiritual being, since the unity of selfhood and the self-consciousness of personality are endowments of the supermaterial world. The very fact that a mortal materialist can deny the existence of supermaterial realities in and of itself demonstrates the presence and indicates the working of spirit synthesis and cosmic consciousness in his human mind.
Okay, so anything that's not in our normal pathways in life, the things of the super material world, the things outside our sight, angels, midwayers, the celestial beings that run the planet. Perfect example. Last night, my wife and I were watching Skinwalker Ranch again, you know? And every time I see this, you know, they keep saying there's something up 30 feet up above the air, above this triangle, okay? And they can't see it. They keep running into it, but they can't see it. Okay. Every time I see the episode of this thing, I want to call them up and say, you know, that could be something in the Marantia realm outside the material existence. You know, could very well be. We don't know. You know, we can't see these things. Could be a Marantia temple. It could be, you know, others, lots and lots of other things. But this is what they're talking about here. To understand the self-consciousness of yourself, these things are endowments of the super material world. What is the super material world?
Marantia.
The Marantia world, the spiritual world. These are all parts of the cosmos of the super material world, okay?
And that's why they say here that mortal materialists, people that just believe in the material, nothing else, all right, can deny the super material realities. But just because of the fact that these realities in and of themselves demonstrate some sort of presence. That's what I was talking about, you know, Skinwalker. There's a presence there of some sort. Okay. And you can deny it all you want to, but as far as the cosmos is concerned, it's there. It's a working spirit synthesis of cosmic consciousness. In his own human mind, the fact that something is there, right? So it's kind of like someone that's been taught the Big Bang theory their whole life, right? That the universe explodes. So they have accepted this concept their whole life. And then when someone comes along like me and says, well, you know, there's this thing called universe respiration. You know, the cosmos expands for a billion years, then it comes back in for a billion years. And so because of that fact, it explains why everything is going out from the center, right? But a materialist, because they can't see it, can't buy it. You see what I'm saying? Big difference, right? So think how fortunate y'all are to have read this book and have all these little tidbits of information that many people in our world don't know about. All right. Rodney, would you take the next one, please?
Yes. There exists a great cosmic gulf between matter and thought. And this gulf is immeasurably greater between material mind and spiritual love. Consciousness, much less self-consciousness, cannot be explained by any theory of mechanistic electronic association or materialistic energy phenomena.
So they can plug in all kinds of electrodes in your brain and everything else, but they cannot demonstrate what? Love, right? And especially not spiritual love, okay? So,
you know what this paragraph just did?
What's that?
It validated itself in the book in the sense that the concepts we're dealing with in this paragraph cannot explain by theory of mechanicalistic electronic association or materialistic energy phenomena.
Right. You can't measure it.
Did
right.
not exist at the writing of this book in my limited knowledge.
No, they didn't. Come think of it. Gary, you're right. It didn't during that period of time.
So, if someone says this was written by mortal man, I think there's your argument right there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always come back to this, Gary. This book is a book of faith. You can't prove it or disprove it. You either believe it by faith or you don't. It's kind of like Jesus, isn't it? You either believe Jesus was the Son of God or you don't. And it's an act of faith that you do. Just like survival is what? An act of faith, right? Any way you look at it. Kind of like trying to prove God. You can't prove God. It's there.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What is this book? Is this book that the ideas it puts through, is it religion? Is it philosophy? Is it what?
It's religion, what, philosophy. You know, it's religion, philosophy, history. That's why I call it the Truth Book. That's why there's a website called the Truth Book, because it is the closest thing to in reality to truth of anything that has ever been written, and that includes all the holy books that's been written. The scriptures, the Indian writings, the, you know, everything you can possibly imagine. None of them hold a candle to this, as far as I'm concerned. So it's a book of religion, philosophy, love, everything together. You know, I always come back to this. People say, do you teach religion? And I said, yeah, but that's not what I really teach.
I teach the universe reality of the universe. All right. That's why they call, the other class I'm getting ready to teach after we're done with this, the ultimate integration of reality. Okay. And in you're going to find when we go back to that series, I've included a bunch of Jesus's paragraphs in this too, because that's what Jesus taught while he was on this trip to Rome, is the ultimate integration of reality several times. And we're going to go through those when we go back through this, because I didn't know these things when I taught it the first time, right? I've grown over the last, 13, 14 years. So when I teach it again, I have a different approach to what I'm teaching because I've integrated many of Jesus's teaching back into the Universe Reality series, right? So if you think about it, this book could be called The Integration of Universe Reality. That's what it could be called, because it's science, philosophy, religion, all history of the planet, history of the universe, what's coming into the future, everything in one shot, right?
I think you're making it too difficult.
No, it's really simple because this is what we know to date. The
Well,
next
here's my point. Let
version,
me
the
get.
next version of the Urantia book will be expanded even more.
Well, let me make my point, and then you can throw my point out or accept it or whatever, okay?
Yeah.
I think you should be, instead of saying I teaching universal reality and go on like that, I think it should be simple and say it, I'm teaching the truth.
That's why I said that's what I always come back to. There's a website out there called truthbook.com, and it's just about the Urantia book, right? Because
That's a competition to it.
it's just that's what it is. It's just the truth. You either read it, believe it, and it improves your life, or you don't. What's that old saying? You can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Same principle. All right. Who's up next? I've lost who's reading.
Who was after Pam? I think Pam read, didn't you?
Oh, okay. Rodney, you're up then.
I read right before Pam.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. We got out of order then. Let's, you're up again.
I think so. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
As mind pursues reality to its ultimate analysis, matter vanishes to the material senses, but may still remain real to mind. When spiritual insight pursues that reality which remains after the disappearance of matter and pursues it to an ultimate analysis, it vanishes to mind, but the insight of spirit can still perceive cosmic realities and supreme values of a spiritual nature. Accordingly, does science give way to philosophy, while philosophy must surrender to the conclusions inherent in genuine spiritual experience? Thinking surrenders to wisdom, and wisdom is lost in enlightened and reflective worship.
You see how you can't separate them?
Yeah.
They're not separatable. Reality includes science, religion, material, and non-material. And it's interesting the way they said here that the material vanishes. Okay, so you remember Plato's concept that material life, the matter was just the shadow of reality. Remember that?
Oh, the cave thing.
Yeah. So if you think about it, in reality, that's the way it is, because once you pass this material existence of our life and we step into the Marantia, what happens to the material that we remembered? It becomes a shadowy memory, right, to us. And then when we step from the Marantia life to the spiritual life, what happens to the Marantia life? It becomes a shadowy memory to us. You see, this because we've gone up in scale. Our reality has gone up the scale. And that happens seven times because there's seven forms of reality in our existence. material being just the first, Morancha being the second, several levels of Morancha, and then spiritual is in there, and then we will have the super universe experience and the billion worlds of Havona experience. That's a different reality. And when we get to paradise, that's a totally different reality, isn't it? Now I got one that's really stranger for you. When you get to paradise and you become a finaliter, you're still just a sixth stage spirit. Does that make sense? We don't become seventh in the seventh part of reality until we all reach light and life in all seven super universes.
When the supreme being comes into fruition.
To full fruition. That's correct. Right?
Interesting.
It's interesting.
Then do we live in a bliss?
I'm confused. So on our progression, you're saying that we're halted until everyone is in light and life?
Yes. When we reach sixth stage spirits, when we become finaliters, stand before God, we will be sixth stage spirits. We won't be seventh stage spirits. Okay, when all seven super universes reach light and life, we all become seventh stage spirits simultaneously.
Now, what can we do to help the situation?
Live our lives. Do what we do now. Just keep going. Become more spiritual. Go up the progressive ladder, because eventually we'll all get there. But think of it this way. When all seven super universes reach light and life, what's our next step? The outer space levels. Okay? So there must be a reason that we will all change to seventh stage spirits at the same time. Maybe because at that point, the outer space levels will be prepared enough to receive us as beings.
It's got to do with the ultimate.
It's got to do with the ultimate. That's
that,
right.
That would be the beginning of another age.
Another whole age. That's right. Or epic, if you want to call it
and
that. Yeah. Right.
It would be a transcendent age.
That's right.
No more evolution.
I call it epic because I've always called this the fifth epical revelation, not the epoch.
But then evolution would be over then.
No, I don't
know. No, nope. It won't. No, because the evolution of
when
the
is it
outer
ever
space
over?
Levels will but be separate from our existence right now. In other words, the evolution of the outer space levels will start its own evolution. Now, keep in mind, more the way they explain it, the way I understand it, those beings from the outer space levels will be coming through the seven super universes. So the seven super universes will still be used as training grounds for those coming in from the outer space levels, because they will have to do an ascension plan to get to God the Father, just like we did.
But this afternoon I was taking a course that someone asked me to on this topic exactly. And what I understood we learned is that when the supreme being, you know, comes to full fruition, then there is no, the all seven super universes become one.
No, they're still separate.
I understand. Yeah. I understood that,
that
there
that
is
they,
a wholeness.
That's what they tried. That, no,
because the
there's a unity, but it's they're still set. There will always be separate because we have seven master spirits.
Okay. Anyway, I will leave that at that.
Yeah. Lord, I wish I could think of. I wish I had YouTube up. Can I give y'all a suggestion tonight?
Sure. Yeah.
Let me to demonstrate what she's just talking about as what's it's all coming out from paradise. Let me see if I can find a YouTube that I can put up here, and y'all can, you can see what I'm talking about here. Give me 1 second. I got to sign in to do this.
No problem.
I got a I got a video from this guy years ago, and see if I can find it real quick here. Y'all give me 1 second. We watch a lot of videos here. All right, it'd be easier if I...
I could have easily misunderstood, but I understood the Supreme Being bring all seven super universes together.
No, not into one,
light
one,
and life.
Yeah, not into one universe. I don't know who's teaching that, but it's not right. This guy's name is David Neufer, y'all. And he's got a video out here, a couple videos. It's the architecture of the master universe.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yes.
Dash Paradise Isle.
Isn't that the blueprint? Isn't that?
It's like a blueprint. But in that video, what I wanted to point out to y'all, in that video, it shows the Isle of Paradise. Okay? And on the edge of the Isle of Paradise is the transmission points for the seven master spirits. Okay? The reason I wanted to show y'all that, if you look at that video, it's 7 minutes long, and at one point you'll see the Isle of Paradise. If you'll see the edge, there's points with lights going out from those points from the seven master spirits, and it goes out from the peripheral of the Isle of Paradise. Okay? That is the circuits for each of the seven super universes. Okay? Those circuits will not be interrupted because of the population of the four outer space levels. You with
Correct.
Me? Mm-hmm. They have to stay separate because each one of them is a different likeness of the Paradise Trinity.
Correct.
Okay, so this likeness of the Paradise Trinity to extend out to the four outer space levels have to remain separate. You see that?
Uh-huh.
And doesn't it have to do also with gravity?
Has to do with gravity. Well, not only gravity. It's not just gravity, Pam. It's the spiritual gravity. It's the gravity of the Father circuit. It's the gravity of the Son circuit. It's the gravity of the infinite spirit, which goes from being the mind circuit to the cosmic mind. And all these things have different variations from the combinations of what? The Paradise Trinity.
And it's Paradise gravity too.
That's right. And so think of it this way. When the Supreme becomes full fruition, when we step into light and life, the Supreme will be the material representation of the Trinity as God. That's why they call it, when it hits the light and life, it's God the Supreme, okay? When it steps out into the outer space levels, what does it become?
God,
the
ultimate.
That's right. Okay.
Well,
so
yeah,
you can't kind of just shove them together, that it wouldn't work. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'd have been at that meeting, I'd have had a bone to pick with whoever was teaching.
Oh, no. I could have easily misunderstood. It
you
is
may,
new to
you
me.
May have. You may have.
Absolutely.
You know, it's kind of funny you say that, Jane, because many times, and Diane knows this better than anyone, all these people that are coming and saying that they're Melchizedek and this and that and the other, I always say, well, if the Melchizedek, have them call me because I got a bunch of questions. And if they can't answer my questions, they weren't Melchizedek. You know?
It's easy for a beginner to misunderstand.
That's right. That's right. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Y'all remember the guy's name. It's go back and review that. He's got two really good videos there. One's Master Universe Model, and the other is Architects of the Master Universe, The Paradise Isle. And his name again is David Neuter.
David what?
Neuter, N-E-U-F-E-R, Neufer, Neufer. Okay, that's where you can find that at.
Mm.
Okay, a lot of good stuff up there if you look. All right. Let's go on to the next one. Dear, would you pick the... Oh, wait a minute. Who just read? Letch did?
I did, yeah.
Okay, Jane, you're up next.
Okay. In science, the human self observes the material world. Philosophy is the observation of this observation of the material world. Religion, through spiritual experience, is the experiential realization of the cosmic reality of the observation of the observation of all this relative synthesis of the energy materials of time and space. To build a philosophy of the universe on an exclusive materialism is to ignore the fact that all things material are initially conceived as real in the experience of human consciousness. The observer cannot be the thing observed. Evaluation demands some degree of transcendence of the thing which is evaluated.
So for us, for us to observe ourselves, we would have to be outside ourselves, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Right? And that's not possible in this life. Now, when we go from the material world to the Marantia world, what happens? We're outside the material world, so we can observe the material world in a total different cosmic reality than we can while we're a material in time and space. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you have to step outside yourself to be able to look at it properly. All right. Gary, are you still there? We losing? You stepped away. Okay, dear, would you take the next one? Let me get my mouse back over here.
In time, thinking leads to wisdom, and wisdom leads to worship. In eternity, worship leads to wisdom, and wisdom eventuates in the finality of thought.
You see why this worship and wisdom stuff is so important, right? It becomes real important. So now you can see why the animals don't have the sixth and seventh adjutants, do they? Because they can't function in the wisdom and worship area, can they? They don't have a soul. So if they don't have a soul, they only have a self. They have their consciousness is just material of what things are going around them. And probably, this is my opinion, it's not out of the book, but this is probably why the animals are recycled into the same kind of animals or a different kind of animals in the next reality, right? Because you think the creative mother spirit's going to waste all that experience of these animals and all that stuff that these animals have learned in their lifetime and not take it on to something else? Of course she will. Right.
Especially when you think about the, you know, the higher end, like the whales and the dolphins. Oh, yeah.
Well, even dogs, you know, think how much dogs love their masters. Right. And I can tell you, these cats we have, they become attached to us, to each other and to us, just like you would think they were humans sometimes. Diane mm-hmm. keeps saying they have personality. And I keep trying to know that's their mind. That's not their personality. But each one of them are totally different. Just like we have personality, right? Every single one of them. So it's an interesting thing. I love to have a long talk with Jesus when I get to the mansion world sometime about.
I'm sure you will.
It happens to the animals. Yeah.
No, it makes me think.
Yeah, it does me too.
But what I've been thinking is that you know. Here we have this vast universe with tens of billions of galaxies, and then there are planets and solar systems that have no humans added to them because they're not survivable.
Right.
My question is, what is their purpose? Are they like evolving entities that will evolve into something else, you know?
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Well, Lecce, it takes so many billions of years for a planet to even get to the point where it can support human
Yeah.
life, right?
Right.
So we just don't know. Some of these planets we're looking at that looks like just big rocks may eventually gain enough stuff to become atmospheric and actually become worlds of humans, And even our own planets, we're the world of the cross. We're like the jewel of the universe. Even our own planet has a expiration date on it, sooner or later. So what are they going to do? Redo it, remanufacture, I don't know. It's a big question. Of course, it's not something we'll be around to have to worry about. So anyway. Okay, let's get on to the how are we doing on time? We're out of time, aren't we? I can't believe how fast the night goes on. I can't believe how much I yak and yak and yak and yak and yak. All right, y'all. Let me stop the share and we'll say a little prayer for tonight and pick this up next week. Now, let me tell y'all, I can't promise I will be available next Thursday or not. I'm going to try to have a meeting next Thursday. We'll definitely have one Tuesday, but Thursday, I am really not sure. We'll just have to wait and see if I'm going to have one. I'll send out a meeting notice on Thursday morning. If not, I definitely will have one the following Tuesday, right? Because I will be recovered by then. Okay. Or as ornery as ever. I don't know if you call it recovered. I'll be back to my old nasty self. All right. Let's have a little prayer and let's say
Recover from what?
brain surgery. No, not brain. I got to go have a catheterization on Wednesday, heart
Okay.
catheterization. So I've already been warned to behave myself, not lift anything, and I'm going home, going to bed, and all that stuff. So I should be fine Thursday, I think. If I can get up the stairs of my chair lift, I'll have a meeting. I might be drugged up a little bit, y'all, but I've done worse things, right?
You'll speak a little slower.
Sure. So anyway, let's see who hadn't prayed in a while. Jane, I don't think you prayed in a while. Would you like to pray for us tonight?
Okay, well, beloved Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for our life. We give you thanks for your creation. And we give glory to Michael Jesus of Nazareth, and we love him and we thank him for all the goodness and love he has bestowed on our planet and his mercy. And we thank you for each other. We thank you for everybody that has ever attended this group or listened to the group, and we pray for them and their families. And we pray for this revelation to reach to the ends of the world, that everybody may realize how great you are and how great is your love and how inclusive it is that we're all your children and you want us all in your fold. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 And
That was lovely.
everybody at home, thank
Amen.
you for coming to see us. Please come see us again. All our Facebook listeners and all our YouTube listeners and Vimeo and people that listen through the windows and people that think I'm crazy. All that stuff. So love you guys. I will see you Tuesday. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, good
Good
night.
night,
Good night,
everybody.
everybody.
Good night.
Love you
Good
guys.
night. Night. Good night. Have fun, Pam. Thank you.
Wish you well.
Bye-bye.